everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Men in Science Podcast. I sincerely hope that you are having a lovely weekend. We'll be having an even better weekend whenever you'll be listening to this. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, YouTube. Follow me on Twitter at IamFossil2Franny and all future podcast information. Whew, exhale. As you already see from the thumbnail and from the title of this podcast, this is the video game episode that I had mentioned briefly last week. On my, is what I called it, the real shooting shit podcast. I'm actually recording this right now Wednesday evening while watching AEW, so if I seem distracted at some parts, it's because of something that's happening on my TV that particularly catches my attention, such as the tag team tournament semifinals match right now. It's Private Party versus the Lucha Brothers, so this is a fun and exciting match, but I'll try not to lose too much focus for this podcast. Yes, this is, like I said, the video game podcast. I decided to do it because I feel like I don't talk enough about video games on this podcast, and after all, that is one of the subjects that I do like to promote as being one of the things that I do on here, because I did mention a couple months ago that I was going to start doing video game reviews. I have not decided when I'm going to start doing that exactly. I don't know if I'm going to have one before this year is over, or if I'm going to wait until next year with a game, because I know Death Stranding is coming out in November. I might do a review for that one, but I'm not 100% sure yet. There was also The Last of Us Part 2 coming out in February, and I'm definitely going to be doing one for that, but it's just, I'm not sure if I'm going to have that be my first video game review, or if I want to kick it off with Death Stranding, or even to kick it off with another video game that I'm either currently replaying or am playing for the first time. But yeah, I am a big fan of video games and have been my entire life. I've played games for Atari, Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, GameCube, and the Wii. Have not played Wii U or the Switch. I want to, though. I just haven't gotten around to it. PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox, Xbox 360. Haven't played anything on Xbox One or Xbox One X. Sega was another one that I loved, Sega Genesis, Sega Saturn. Did not play Sega Dreamcast. I played a couple of games that were for the Dreamcast, and I played the arcade versions of those. I've played Game Gear, Game Boy, PS Vita. Yeah, I love video games. Like I said, I've been playing it my entire life, although there was a period in my life, almost 10 years, I want to say about, well, more like 6 or 7 years, where I actually kind of stopped playing video games for, well, not by choice exactly. If you follow me on my Facebook page, then you know, might know a little bit about what that is. I'm trying not to bring up the personal stuff with regards to that, but yeah, I've been playing my entire life. Used to have all the video game systems that were around during the 90s. I had the, like I said, the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, and Nintendo 64, the Sega Saturn, for the original PlayStation, and had a lot of great games for those. On Super Nintendo, my favorite games that I can remember were the Super Mario World. I think that might be my favorite game that I ever played on the Super Nintendo. Mortal Kombat 2, which I haven't played Mortal Kombat 11 yet, but as of right now, Mortal Kombat 2 is still my favorite Mortal Kombat game. For a lot of people, it's still the favorites. You know, because I've played all the Mortal Kombat games except for 11. I played the original Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2, Mortal Kombat 3, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Mortal Kombat Trilogy, the Mortal Kombat Mythology with Sub-Zero, the Shaolin Monk spinoff, Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance, Deception, Armageddon, Mortal Kombat 9, but they just called it Mortal Kombat because it was like kind of a soft reboot of the series, Mortal Kombat 10, and 11 is the only one that I haven't played yet, but I will definitely be playing it very soon. Hopefully by the end of the year I'll be able to purchase that game. That's, I remember that was definitely one of my favorites. Donkey Kong, for the Super Nintendo, Donkey Kong Ad the Adventures, I think it was called, or Donkey, no, Donkey Kong Country, that's what it was. I played the original Donkey Kong game as well, which was the first introduction to Mario, which Super Mario, even after every video game franchise I've ever participated in playing with, for whatever reason, the Super Mario franchise is still my all-time favorite video game franchise, because that franchise has spanned so many iterations and, almost 4 decades of games and contents worth, several games on several Nintendo platforms, one shitty video game movie in the 90s that, starred the great Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, and if you've never seen that, do not. I mean, like, there's like the Street Fighter movie from the 90s. It's a bad movie, but it's the good kind of bad. Same with the first Mortal Kombat movie. Because there's good bad movies, and then there's bad movies. And Super Mario movie was a bad movie. Which, that's the thing with a lot of video games that get turned into movies, doesn't have the best track record. I mean, the Tomb Raider movies, the ones with Angelina Jolie, I enjoyed the first one. Second one, not so much. The one with Alicia Vikander, much better. And I'm glad that it's supposed to be getting a sequel. Can't wait to see that one as well. But yeah, a long history of video games that they make into movies, is not a great one. So, and I know that there's gonna be a Mortal Kombat movie coming out in 2021. I believe it's 2021, because I think they're currently either still in pre-production or they're filming it right now. And it's from and from, James Wan, I think, is supposed to be producer or executive producer, and then it's supposed to be like a hard R-rated Mortal Kombat movie, which I hope it will be, because Mortal Kombat, anything less than an R-rated Mortal Kombat is a disservice to every fan of Mortal Kombat. Oh shit. Sorry, like I said, I'm watching AEW, and if I just, some of the big high spots on in this match. I'm trying not to lose too much focus. But and Mortal Kombat, that's another one that's one of my all-time favorite video game franchises. And Street Fighter is another one that, I mean, I haven't played the last few entries. I didn't play Street Fighter 4, I didn't play Street Fighter 5, but I'm definitely a fan of the Street Fighter games. Ryu was always my favorite character from the games. Mortal Kombat, my favorite was always a tie between Johnny Cage and Sub-Zero, mostly Sub-Zero. Ooh, damn. Sorry, yeah. But just of course, like wrestling games, because I am a big wrestling fan, as everybody who listens to this knows. And wrestling games, that one has had a bit of a checkered history as well. A lot of great games and a lot of not so great games. I mean, and I actually am. For my worst to best series, I'm planning on doing a ranking of the what I believe to be the 10 best wrestling games. Some of them might surprise some people. Some of them might won't definitely won't surprise people. But like I always say, those rankings are based on my personal feelings about the product. So whenever I decide to do that one, hope y'all will enjoy it. But yeah, with the wrestling video games, I mean, I've played all the WWE games, looks except some of the recent 2K games, but like I played like the original like Super WrestleMania, that they had for the old Nintendo and Sega systems, the Rampage, Steel Cage, the Royal Rumble game that they had on Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, the original Monday Night Raw that was on Genesis and Super Nintendo, WrestleMania the arcade game, what's the other one? The In Your House game that they had as well, that I think was only on PlayStation, and I don't remember what other systems had that game, because I played that one on the Sega Saturn, my brother and I did. And yeah, because that's when Acclaim had the the video game rights for WWF at the time. Yeah, it was the Royal Rumble, Monday Night Raw, and then they had WrestleMania, the arcade game, the In Your House game, and they had a WWF Warzone, which was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with that game. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was a lot of fun. It was a good, especially like when stepping it up to the 3D wrestling gaming, it was a very good one. And then WWF Attitude was the next, was the follow-up to that, which was a step up in presentation, where they had full-on entrances, because in the Warzone game, they only had just a quick little pose at the top of the ramp, and then it cuts to the next person's entrance, which is, again, just another pose at the top of the ramp, and that's it. They don't do anything else. Well, actually, the entrances are only from the championship mode that they have on there, because when you do the regular, matches, I think, I don't know, it's been a long time since I've played it, that they didn't have like actual entrances. But yeah, it was still a very fun game that I enjoyed. My brother enjoyed it as well. Both my brothers did. And then WWF Attitude, like I said, was like the next step up. That one, I remember they had to delay the release of that game because it was the year that Owen Hart had died, and they pushed the game back a couple of months because at the time Owen was a bad guy, so he was gonna be booed in the game, so they had to tweak it after he died by making him a face, have the fans cheer him, and then to add also the in memory of Owen Hart graphic at the load up screen of the game. But that one, I enjoyed it as well, because the Warzone was the first wrestling game to have a create a wrestler feature, which was a lot of fun. But it was very standard. You just had like pre-rendered faces and costume pieces that you just you couldn't change the colors or designs on them. Just pick it and just slap it on them to make up your wrestler. But in WWF Attitude, you were able to customize it. Like with the faces, you get to choose the eyes, the mouth, the nose. Different styles of your hair, different styles of face paint. You get to actually change the colors of the costumes, and you get to actually like write stuff on the outfits as well, and logos. You get to put logos on your wrestlers as well. It was a lot of fun. It was a big step up, and they had a different entrance music featured on there as well, instead of just the wrestlers' entrance music. They had like generic studio like production kind of music that they added on there. If in case you didn't want to have the actual themes wrestler songs for your customized superstar. The commentary though was a little rough. I mean, it was Jerry Lawler and Shane McMahon. And it was just because they didn't record like actual dialogue to bounce off of each other. It was like just like little one-liners that they would just throw in there, every so often, and it did get tiring after a while, but overall, I thought the game was really fun. It was also one of the first wrestling games to feature playable female superstars that you could have against the men, so that was fun. And WCW, their video games for that time period, it was from the THQ, which is now THQ Nordic. At the time, they were just THQ, and they had their game, WCW, rather, WCW versus NWO World Tour, which that one was a very, small kind of thing. It had a very, very good roster of stars. And they had like, of course, their WCW guys. They had the NWO guys. They had like, and then they had like little like side rosters of like, international stars that I don't know how many of them were legitimate stars. Some of them might have been, but I'm not sure because I don't know how many of them licensed their names and likeness to be used in the game. But that one was a lot of fun. Like there was like nothing like spectacular about it, but it was a fun game for that time period. Like there was no entrances, no theme music, but it was a lot of fun. And then the follow up to that one was the WCW NWO Revenge, which was essentially the blueprint of the WWF games that would come later on for the Nintendo 64 with THQ. We had WCW NWO Revenge was a big upgrade from World Tour. They had like fully rendered arenas for Nitro. They had pay-per-view arenas in there as well, with entrances and pyro, and entrance music. I mean, they didn't have all the actual entrance music, but they did have some good generic music that varied depending on what wrestler, who that you've played as and who came out first. That one was a lot of fun. Had the roster that was, most up to date for 1988 in WCW, that they had, the NWO, Hulk Hogan, they had Hollywood Hogan, they had Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho, Bret Hart, which, of course, that Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler, so I definitely had a lot of fun playing as him, as I did playing as him in Royal Rumble, Monday Night Raw, Warzone, and WrestleMania, the arcade game, and In Your House, and Attitude, WWF Attitude. Of course, I created him on there, so I had a lot of fun with that. Because they did have a generic-looking version of his wrestling outfit on there, so I always made sure I always grabbed that one, made it pink and black to be able to use, and always made sure that I had my favorite on there. So, but it was a lot of fun. Getting to play some of these people, and then of course the licensing for the WWF games went over to THQ, where we got the WrestleMania 2000 game, which was an even bigger upgrade from WCW NWO Revenge. Because that's when we had, fully interactive entrances with Titantron videos and actual wrestling theme songs, and then they had the Road to WrestleMania mode, which was like a full calendar year's worth of Raw and Sunday Night Heat and pay-per-views for you to wrestle on your way to the main event of WrestleMania and to become the WWF champion. It was a lot of fun, and they had the custom wrestlers on there as well, where. I mean, they didn't have the customizable faces like Attitude did, but you had more options with wrestling moves and taunts for the entrances, and entrance music and costumes to use as well, and had a more extensive roster than the WCW games did. Like this one, they had Kane, Undertaker, The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Mankind, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, Test, Prince Albert, Draws, Edge, Christian, The Hardy Boys, Jeff Jarrett, Brian Christopher, Scott Taylor, I'm sure I'm missing a few. Pat Patterson, Joe Briscoe, I think, were featured in there as well. Big Boss Man, Viscera, a whole bunch of great, Midian was another one. Yeah, I just remembered him, Midian, Farouk and Bradshaw. The whole, basically the entire WWF roster of 1999 was featured in that game, and it was so much fun. But then of course we had the. What many fans consider to be the greatest wrestling video game of all time, even to this day, WWF No Mercy as the follow-up, and that one was just took everything that was great about WrestleMania 2000 and just turned it up to 11, and it was so much freaking fun. If you're a wrestling fan, or if you like playing wrestling games, and you've never played No Mercy, then you are really missing out. Of course, there's other wrestling games that came out through THQ. We had the SmackDown series, SmackDown and SmackDown 2, SmackDown 2 Know Your Role, SmackDown Just Bring It, and then SmackDown Shut Your Mouth, and Here Comes the Pain. And eventually it became SmackDown vs. Raw, and it was SmackDown vs. Raw up until 2012 when it was when they started, no, no, 2011 when they did WWE 12 and then WWE 13, and then the IP got transferred to 2K, and then, it's been hit or miss since then. But they weren't the only wrestling game that was out there that I enjoyed. There was the Legends of WrestleMania games that I had a lot of fun playing. I know they aren't the best what received critically, but they did sell very well, and I enjoyed all three of them. If you love playing as the legends and these games, then you'll definitely enjoy those games if you're a big wrestling fan like I am and like the old school. But some of like the newer games that I've become a big fan of in recent years. I mean, like Uncharted. I was first introduced to the Uncharted games when I used to be a cashier at Walmart years ago. I was working there in 2011, and when I was on my lunch break one time, I walked over to the video game area and decided to test out the, you know, whatever the demo was that they had on display at the PlayStation 3, you know, spot. And they had the demo for Uncharted 3. And for the demo, it was the Escape from the French Chateau sequence where, you know, where Marlowe and, well, not Marlowe, but Talbot and crew decide to set it on fire. And I played that demo and immediately just saw, like, huh, this is a lot of fun. I wonder what the rest of the game is like. And just, you know, I didn't follow up on that. I didn't go out to get a PlayStation 3 and, you know, go and play, get by the Uncharted, you know, Drake's Fortune, Uncharted 2, Among Thieves, and then Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. I didn't do that. You know, because that was there during the period, like, that I mentioned a little bit earlier, that I was not playing video games. Just, you know, again, I'm not going to go into the specifics as to why. But just, yeah, it was just a period in my life where I just, video games were not part of it. And I'll be honest, I did kind of hate that a lot. But I eventually got back into it around 2015 when they had the, excuse me, feeling a little gassy. I had a, you know, a very, very, very nice dinner that's left me feeling pretty gassy right now. But, yeah. And in 2015, when they introduced the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection, they had the bundle for it available at Target at the time, and it was on sale, so I took advantage of that. So I bought PlayStation 4 with the Uncharted Drake's Fortune bundle, and finally got to play all three games for the first time, and I have, you know, been saying it for the last 5 years now that purchasing that bundle pack with the PS4 is probably the smartest gaming choice I had ever made, because it became, you know, after Super Mario Bros., my favorite video game franchise ever. Because the first Uncharted game is just, you know, the first open world game of its kind that I had ever played. And being introduced to these characters, there's Chris Jericho in the inner circle. awesome. Anyways, yeah, the first open world game of its kind that I'd ever played. Being introduced to the world of Nathan Drake and Elena Fisher, Victor Sullivan, the treasure hunting and, you know, pirates and the lost treasures of Sir Francis Drake and the lineage of and the history of all that stuff. And then what's the name? The Greg Edmondson with the score was great as well. I love the hit. I love that score. Is it Edmondson or Emerson? I don't know. Anyway, the score for that is phenomenal. I listen to it at least once a week. No exaggeration. I really do. So I had a lot of fun with that. And then, you know, moved on to Uncharted 2, Drake's Fort. I'm sorry, Thief's End. Not Thief's End, that's Uncharted 4. Uncharted 2, Among Thieves. Sorry, like I said, I'm distracted by the fast-paced action of AEW right now. And I just fell in love with the franchise even more when I played that. It, like, especially with that opening to Uncharted 2. And if you've never played the game, sorry if this is a bit of a spoiler for you, but that opening to Uncharted 2, that it opens up with a quote from Marco Polo, and then, you know, if we go from black to we see, you know, a little train cart that looks a little like, you know, ransacked and whatever, and Drake is sitting in the chair, bloody, bleeding from the stomach. He looks out the window, sees that everything is sideways, and realizes that he's hanging off the side of a cliff. and has to make his way. And he falls through, but manages to hang on to a pole or railing at the bottom, and has to make his way back up through that train cart on back onto that cliff so that he avoids falling to his death. And first time I played it, and I think I played it on the normal difficulty, because you know, since I was still learning the mechanics of the game, I set it at normal so that it's challenging enough, but not so challenging where I end up hating it. but just my heart was racing the entire time for that opening sequence, and it sucked me in immediately, and that's what I knew right then and there that I am a fan for life of this series. And then I, you know, decided to look. Then I saw that I'd heard about the Uncharted 4 coming out, so I immediately went to pre-order that. As I was still playing Uncharted 2, and then moved on to Uncharted 3 and had so much fun with that as well, because you know, we got the Chloe Frazier, who was introduced in Uncharted 2, getting to enjoy her on there as well was a lot of fun for in Uncharted 3, and Charlie Cutter. Man, if I always tell people, if you're hesitant to buy a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 4 Pro, that the Uncharted games are to me the best reason to purchase a PS4 or PS4 Pro, because they are the best games I've ever played on a PlayStation. Well, then again, well, there's also The Last of Us that was highly recommended to me by my friends when I was getting back into the gaming with Uncharted. And I asked people, you know, what are good games that I can get on the PS4? And now they, you know, got some other recommendations, like, you know, Bloodborne, Destiny. You know, I played Bloodborne. Not a bad game, I just couldn't get into it. So, you know, sorry to everyone who loves that game so much. But just, I couldn't get into it. Again, not that it's a bad game, it's just, it wasn't for me. But the one that most of them suggested was The Last of Us. And I'd heard about it, I was very curious to know what little more about it, and, you know, eventually I went to GameStop and I purchased a pre-owned copy, yeah, because I'm cheap like that. And as soon as that, again, the opening sequence, just like with Uncharted 2, as soon as that opening sequence with Joel and his daughter happened, I was immediately sucked in and realized I'm going to experience one of the greatest games ever. And sure enough, when I finally reached that final chapter in the game and the credits rolled, I was proven right that indeed, I had just experienced one of the greatest games ever. And Last of Us Part 2 coming out in February. I am beyond excited for that. I pre-ordered that one as well, and I cannot wait to get my hands on that. And oh shit. Sorry, again, sorry, telling you, AEW is distracting me while I'm trying to do this podcast. Probably not the best idea to be watching wrestling while I'm recording a podcast that's not about wrestling. or not completely about wrestling, at least. But yeah, I can't wait to play The Last of Us Part 2. As of right now, I'm thinking, and most people are even already predicting, that it's already going to be the game of the year for 2020. Because, I mean, there's a lot of games coming out next year that I'm excited for. You know, there's Final Fantasy VII Remake, which, you know, that one has everybody so hyped. You know, Last of Us Part II, of course. Then the Marvel's Avengers coming out, I think it's in April or May, I can't remember. I think April. That one has everyone excited as well, including me. I'm excited to play that one, even though I know a lot of fans that are complaining about the graphics. I couldn't care less about the graphics as long as the game itself is a good one. You know, I will agree that the graphics aren't the greatest. I mean, especially when you compare it to something like the Spider-Man game that was introduced, that we were blessed with from Insomniac last year. Which that one, I haven't played God of War or Red Dead Redemption 2 yet, but as of right now, that game is my favorite game of 2018. But I'm sure once I finally get to play, Red Dead 2, and God of War, that maybe my opinion might change. But as of right now, Spider-Man PS4, as us fans call it, or the actual name, Marvel Spider-Man, is my favorite 2018 game. Because, as you guys already know, Spider-Man is my all-time favorite Marvel Comics character. So, being able to play a great Spider-Man game like that had told such a great story, and was just so much fun to play, and even without the story, was just, again, one of the best experiences I'd ever had, one of the greatest experiences I've had as a video gamer. And also, like, the options of costumes that they have in there. Like, they have the Sam Raimi Spider-Man costume. Not the original one from the first movie, which, believe it or not, actually is a little different. But the one that he started wearing for in Spider-Man 2, and then again in 3. And then they have the Tom Holland Spider-Man costumes. The homemade suit, the Stark suit that he gave him in Civil War and Homecoming. The Iron Spider suit. The stealth suit that's introduced in Far From Home. The upgraded suit that's in Far From Home. Those are also awesome, and they have the Into the Spider-Verse Spider-Man costume that's also on there. It's really cool. The 2099 Spider-Man costumes, both versions of it. The comic book version of Iron Spider, Fantastic Four Spider-Man costume where he has the paper bag over his head. They have the version of the costume that it's like he's literally like a comic print version of the cat. Of the costume, it's just such a awesome and fun game. It is, like I said, one of the best games I've ever experienced. Not just as a gamer, but as just I don't know, actually yeah, but just not just as a comic book fan, but as a gamer in general. It's just so awesome, because I played the older Spider-Man games for Nintendo and PlayStation, and I played the ones that they did for the movie, where for the movies rather, for the Sam Raimi ones. I didn't play any of the Amazing Spider-Man games, but I played the ones for Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 from Sam Raimi, and those were a lot of fun. And I am very much looking forward to playing the eventual Marvel Spider-Man 2 when that comes out. And I know most fans are like, oh, I hope it doesn't take too long for it to come out. You know what? I want them to take as much time as they want to with this so that they can deliver the most perfect sequel to a video game like this that they could ever do. Because the Marvel Spider-Man PS4, whichever you want to call it, is such an amazing game to experience that if they rush the sequel like they do with a lot of video game franchises, like Assassin's Creed, after a while, pumping out a new game every year, the quality diminishes. Very much like the Call of Duty games, pumping those out every year, after a while, really diminish the overall quality of it. I like when they take their time making these follow-up games in these series like this. Like with Uncharted, I'm glad that each game had at least 2 years in between because that gave them plenty of time to flesh out the story, polish the mechanics, and make sure that it was as great of an experience as they could possibly give the fans and the game people who would be paying their hard-earned money to play these games, or paying their parents' hard-earned money to play the games. And I want to get into even more video games franchises like this. I want to get into the God of War games. I want to get into like Borderlands. I've been debating on getting into the Borderlands games for a long time. Because I know there's the whole controversy right now with over with Take-Two Studios and Borderlands 3, but I'm trying not to let any of that get to me. So God, I just want to see if the game is all it's cracked up to be, And Grand Theft Auto is another one that, I've never played any of them, not even n none of them at all. They never played the original, never played the ones that they made the biggest deal over, like GTA 3 or Vice City or San Andreas. or four or five, none of them. I haven't played any of them. So I, want to try to get into those games. The Arkham games, I've been, been playing those as well. The Arkham Knight was given to me as a Christmas gift when I got after I got my PS4, which is one of the best Christmas gifts that I've ever gotten. Thank you to my brother who got that for me that year. And then they had the Return to Arkham that came out a year later, so I finally got to play Ar Asylum and Arkham City, and I love those so much. When I had the free trial of PlayStation Now, I got to play a little bit of Arkham Origins, and I fell in love with that game as well. And I hate that I have to be a paid subscriber to the PlayStation Now in order to play Arkham Origins. I wish I could just purchase it, in the PS in the PlayStation Store, or if they can just, do a remastered version of that. And maybe with the eventual, Arkham Legacy or Insurgency, whatever the one from WB Games Montreal is gonna be coming out with, maybe they'll release a remastered Arkham Origins, because I did not get that far in that in the story before my free trial ran out, because I think I only had a 7-day free trial, and I only got as far as, like, I don't even know, like 30% of the story. And I honestly don't even remember what where I got up to in in the story itself. I just know the percentage was around 30. What's another big franchise or a big game? Shadows of the Colossus is one that I've heard so much about, but just have not gotten around to playing. The Witcher 3, I've heard a lot about that one. I've not sure if I have to play the previous two games in order to get into it. I guess, others will let me know if I do have to do that. What's the other one? The Last Guardian. That's one that I've been really, really wanting to play, because it was like one of the little insert ads that was in the case for when I got Uncharted 4. So I've been really curious to play that one, and just never got around to actually purchasing it. And I mean, they have it at Walmart for like $15, so just haven't gotten around to getting it. What's another big game that's out right now that everyone is flipping out over? Well, there's the Fallout games also. I've never played any of those, and and I know there's the big controversy with Fallout 76, with them pushing back the update to next year and having that $100 yearly premium membership that a lot of people are pissed off about. And I think it's like, I was actually curious about purchasing the Fallout 76, but then when I heard about this yearly membership where you get all the exclusive stuff that fans had been wanting since the launch of the game over a year ago, it's like, maybe I'm not gonna waste my money on this. But whatever. I love video games so much, and just, I missed it so much during those like 6 or 7 years that I didn't get to play these games. And I'm glad that I'm getting back into it. I'm having so much fun getting to replay, with the Uncharted games. I've played all of the games. Drake's Fortune, Among Thieves, Drake's Deception, Thief's End, and Lost Legacy. I've played all those games so many times and beaten them so many times, and I still don't get bored. And Last of Us, I've played that game so many times as well, and I'm still not bored, because the games are just so, like, the story sucks you in so much that no matter how many times you've played it, and even knowing what to expect and when one thing is gonna happen, like, this is gonna happen at this very moment, and this person's gonna do that. I don't care. I still and have loved playing it so much, and even after Last of Us Part 2 comes out, I'm still probably gonna be playing the hell out of the first Last of Us, the first game. Even like with the Marvel Spider-Man game, I 100%ed everything in the game. It's the first game that I've ever gotten 100% in everything for, and gotten the platinum trophy and all that. It's the first game I've ever done that for, ever, on any video game console, Xbox or PlayStation. And yet I'm still playing it so many times because I just love the game itself. I love it. It is such a fun experience for me. Even after going platinum on the game, I still want to play it because the story sucks me in every single time. Plus, the mechanics are very easy to manage, and I just love it. What else? What's another one that? And also, like when I pre-ordered the Lost Legacy and then eventually picked it up at GameStop, that they'd given me a download code for Jak and Daxter, the Precursor Legacy. So I've been getting into that as well. I'm having a lot of fun playing that. And the Spyro, remake and the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, those are two other games that I've been wanting to get for a while and just have not gotten around to it. I did play Spyro and Crash Bandicoot way back on the original PlayStation, so I had a lot of fun on playing that, and I want to be able to play it again with the shinier graphics that they have in these remakes versions. And also I finally got into playing Resident Evil 7. I've been having a lot of fun with that and being freaked the fuck out with that family. And the weird black tar looking things that come out of the walls. Those creatures piss me off. And I'm looking forward to playing the next Resident Evil game when that one comes out. I saw the demo for that one, or the teaser trailer for it from the E3 or a few months ago. So that one was like, okay, well, interesting way to go about it. Oh, I'm in for that. I look forward to playing that eventually. Cyberpunk, that's the other one. I can't believe I forgot that, because that one is the most anticipated game of next year. That's the other one that. Yeah, Last of Us Part 2, and then Cyberpunk, and Marvel's Avengers, the three games that I'm looking forward to playing next year, and 4, because there's also Final Fantasy VII Remake, and very much looking forward to playing all 4 of those, and then the Resident Evil 2 Remake came out earlier this year. I gotta get on that one as well. Just so many great games coming out. Over the next, has so many months, and just, I don't know which ones I'm gonna go for first, and which ones I'm gonna feel the most immersed in. And the, 2K, WWE 2K20 just came out this week, and not hearing a lot of positive stuff about it, because there's a lot of bugs and glitches that are coming out. I actually saw one picture of a glitch where it looked like it was a person with it had a weird dinosaur thing on their head, but there was no face, just the eyeballs and the teeth, kind of like that the creepy glitch from one of the Assassin's Creed games when people didn't have faces. And things like I really wanted to play the 2K20 for WWE, but I'm gonna wait a little bit until they patch up these glitches, because I do not want to play a botched game, it is what it is. It's what happens when you want to pump out these titles every year on tight-knit annual schedules. Because the cutoff for these games is like around July, end of July, beginning of August, and then they rush to get it out by October. And I hate that that's what they do. Because like I said about Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed and some of the other titles, when they pump out these new entries every single year, the quality diminishes, and it's just, they're not as enjoyable as the previous entries. And I wish more of these studios that do these games would realize, let's take our time, put a couple years in between titles so that we can give the most polished and well-crafted product possible to our loyal customers. Yeah, but I guess that's just asking too much of the people who make these games. And, well, that's pretty much all I got to say on the subject of gaming. it going to do it for this edition of the Mennonites Podcast. I hope you all enjoyed hearing me rant about video games for the last almost 45 minutes. And if you didn't enjoy it, well, you tuned in anyway, so thank you for getting my numbers up and helping my analytics look good. And speaking of analytics, when I checked it earlier today, saw that I have that 1% of my fan base apparently is in Indonesia, so shout out to my fan base in Indonesia. And make sure you tune in next week. I won't have a full podcast, like regular podcast episode, but I will have my worst to best ranked episode for the Halloween films, which I will be releasing on Halloween Day, because of course I am. And then the week after that, I will have another regular podcast. I call it The Fandom Problem, which by that title, you should kind of already know what's coming with that one. And so I hope you'll enjoy those two entries, and also please check out my retro film reviews that I have on here for Lion King, Masters of the Universe, Baron Munchausen, my other, you know, entries for worst to best with Spider-Man and Batman, my classic wrestling pay-per-view for Bad Blood in Your House from October 1997, my other film reviews that I have on here for Joker, Spider-Man Far From Home, 2019 Lion King, Dark Phoenix, Captain Marvel, Fighting With My Family, Avengers Endgame, Aquaman, Halloween from last year. Hope you check those. You can check those out anytime, and other podcasts that I have on here, and enjoy those if you want to. Again, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Radio Public, or YouTube. Follow me on Twitter at IamFozitude for podcast updates. Follow me on Instagram at Fozitude for fun pictures that I like to post on there. Follow me on Vero at Fozitude as well to see all the fun stuff in between. support the podcast, donating on Patreon, $5 a month only, to contribute to my Hall of Justice for the podcast and keep it going and help improve the overall quality and, just make the whole experience better. check out the Mennonites Podcast store to buy some of the shirts and stickers and art that I have on there. Just introduce a new t-shirt with the phrase that I most frequently use on here, the "we shall see," which I guess is my official catchphrase for the podcast. I have that featured as a t-shirt on there now. And the link to that and to my Patreon will be in the description. And as always, thank you all so much for tuning in and for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I truly and genuinely do. I really do. From my heart. I really do. I hope you all enjoy your weekend. Spend it with your loved ones if you can. And if you're working, I hope you have some fun coworkers that are going to make it an easier experience for you. This has been the Men in Tights Podcast. I am Julian. And I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.